vecka.
Nya tag.
Nya tag. Hör du, är du höjdrädd?
Nej, jag har lite klaustrofobi, men jag har ingenting emot höjder.
Okej, men du, vet du hur högt 6 meter och 15 centimeter är?
Jag vet hur högt det är, men...
Kan du föreställa dig?
Ja, nej, kan
det,
jag nog inte.
Det är ungefär som att stå på balkongen ut, så här, mellan andra och tredje våningen och liksom kasta sig ut.
Mm. Ja, det skulle man inte göra.
Nej, det är lika högt som en viss svensk världsmästare har satt i stavhopp utomhus. Och han har dessutom rekordet för inomhus på 6 meter 18 centimeter.
Mm.
Jag talar förstås om.
Kan det vara Armand Duplantis?
Jajamensan. Och kära lyssnare, det är med stor glädje som vi har den stora äran att presentera dagens gäst. Namnet på alla släppar just nu, Armand Duplantis. Välkommen!
Hej!
Or should we say welcome?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's such an immense pleasure to have you join us in our little podcast studio, or although not in person, but via link from Louisiana. Because you're back home, right?
Exactly. I'm in Lafayette, Louisiana right now. I spend this time for like the next 2 months preparing for the outdoor season, since it's a little more warm here.
Yes.
And then when I was in Sweden, and you know, I'm also able to play a little golf when I'm here rather than if I was in Sweden right now, so that's also nice.
That's actually funny because I was talking to my brother, which I mentioned to you, and he was like, yeah, I'm playing a tournament in Louisiana right now. Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Lafayette. What? So you're actually at the same place as they are playing a tournament right now.
Yeah, it's the Chittimache Open. I have like two or three friends that actually like are doing the like upkeep of the greens and the bunkers and everything at La Triomphe, the golf course that they're playing the Louisiana Open at.
And that is your home course?
It's I guess you could say that kind of. It's not really like my home course. I'm not a member there, but I've played there many times. So it's like kind of my home course almost, yeah.
Nice. Do you like it?
I think it's pretty nice. I mean, it's hard for me to judge. I mean, I'm not like a professional golfer, so I think things for me are, I have a little lower standard than, you know, maybe Jonas may have. But for me, I think it's very fun. It's a fun course. It's pretty attackable. I don't play from the tips.
No.
So maybe it's a little longer and harder in that sense. But I've actually had my best round there. I shot an 80 there once, and I've shot below 90 a couple times there. So.
Impressive. But in general, though, do you like watching golf, or are you more like, I just play. I don't really like watching.
I think I watch more golf than I watch Stop Up.
Before we begin, we thought we'd do a little warm-up, because warming up is so essential.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we wanted to see, because now you're big in Sweden, and you're Swedish now, you live here, and you know, so we wanted to see how Swedish you really are.
Oh gosh, I don't like these tests.
I know, that's why we do
them. This may be tough, we'll see.
So we'll
I'll probably fail in this one.
No.
So we'll say out a few typical Swedish items or phenomenon, and you'll tell us what you think about them, right?
So it's an easy test.
Mm. Yeah, so, we'll see, okay.
So if I say Swedish weather, what do you say?
That sums it up.
Right.
That's about it, honestly. Yeah, the size, like, I mean, it hit or miss. It can be really hit or miss. I mean, it can be really beautiful. And I honestly, especially if you have a winter like this past winter where it's really cold and it's snowing, then I think aesthetically, like, snow is really pretty. But when it's cold and windy and no snow, so it's like just kind of cold for no reason, I don't think that's very fun. And in the summers, if it's a hot summer, then I think you can't really beat Swedish summers.
Mm. I actually love the sentence, it's hit or miss, because that's usually what I say when I lived in the US. I was like, how's the Swedish weather? Well, it's hit or miss. So I usually say the same thing.
It just depends on the day. It just depends on the day. It changes too much to even... to really know. Yeah.
So, and if we say Systembolaget.
Systembolaget. Well, I've only been a couple times. You know, I'm an athlete, so I'm not supposed to drink all that much. But I mean, I occasionally, of course, if I just do it casually and, you know, do it in moderation. But
I love how politically correct you are.
Yeah, exactly. I do it in moderation. I kind of have to.
If I say Swedish girls, what do you say?
Okay, I have to be careful the way I answer that because I actually have a girlfriend now, but she is Swedish.
That is.
She is Swedish, and it's. I feel like it is the most typical like Swedish way for me to have a girlfriend too. Is I met her last summer on Midsummer.
Oh wow! You really got Swedish. But,
yeah, exactly. It's like that's like my stamp of like it's like my initiation.
Sweet girlfriend, like approval. Midsummer, drinking Swedish coffee.
Exactly. And so, yeah. I mean, we didn't start like really like dating at that time. I was just kind of more where I was like introduced to her, and then kind of started dating like last summer, and then now it's like becoming more serious now when I was back in Sweden. Mm. And then, so yeah, here we are. I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, the women are beautiful for sure.
Have you met any new friends or played with new people in Sweden?
For sure. I mean, I played with the prince.
Oh, that's Prince Daniel in Sweden.
But he was like very, very good. And it was also like, I'd been playing at that time for like 2 months, 3 months. Oh, okay. So like, I was pretty bad, honestly. Like, I that's why I need to play with him again, because I need to show him that like, I can actually like, you know, I can hit the ball like, you know, decently now. And I'm like, I don't have to three putt everything and like things like that.
I know you played with Ricky Fowler as well. So when was that?
I played with Ricky. Yeah, I when was that? I guess like in December. Yeah, like middle of December. Mm-hmm. I went down and stayed with him and Allison in Jupiter, Florida, for the weekend with my brother.
Tough life.
And we just there. Yeah, there was just a lot of things. Like, I mean, Ricky's wife, Allison.
Mm-hmm.
She pole vaulted as well.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, and then so my brother actually met her years back when he went on a visit to University of Cal Berkeley, where she went to college, because he was going to visit to see if he wanted to go to that school, and he met her there. The whole Ricky, like, I'm sponsored by Puma, he's sponsored by Puma. Like, there's a lot of connections there, and like a lot of mutual friends, and then we kind of just got linked up, and then just figured out a day to go play, and there was like their off season, and I was just chilling, and I wanted to go play golf with them, of course. So as soon as I got the invite to go to Jupiter and play, I was like, yeah, of course I'm going to take it.
What course did you play?
We played the Grove. Michael Jordan's course,
oh,
I think.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So like, if you compare playing with Prince Daniel and Ricky Fowler.
Who's the king?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Who gave you the best tips?
One's like a PGA Tour player, the other one's the Prince. So it would be kind of a problem if the Prince was that good at golf, because they'd be like, "What are you doing? What are you doing with your days?" But no, it was a cool experience though. You realize, you know, because I never played with like actually good people. It was more like been playing with my friends or people that are just kind of starting out, just like me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go play with like a guy that's a PGA Tour player, you're like, "Yeah, wow, I would." There's no way I could ever get to that level.
I know. It's another level for sure.
It's just insane. It doesn't even, it was pretty incomprehensible, really. I mean, just like this, the little things. I mean, just like never, no bad shots, really. Mm. And even if it is a bad shot, like just barely missing the green, like in reg, it's like a shot that I would love to have.
Now that we are a bit warmed up, it's time to check in.
So you say, like, if you compare your life situation right now to like a golf handicap, like, are you a low handicap? Like, is life really good?
I would say I'm a scratch golfer.
Oh wow!
Not when I'm actually playing golf, but the way that life's going. I mean, you know, there's room to get better, of course, in just little aspects. Mm. But you know, as far as everything, I really can't complain too much. The way things are going, you know, I have good relationships with family, friends, and I'm jumping well.
Mm. Mm.
And so that's the most important thing for me, really. So, I love what I'm doing, and I'm doing it pretty well right now. So it's hard for me to complain too much about things.
So how is it and how was it to grow up and living in Louisiana?
it's all I know, really. I mean, as far as like growing up wise, I mean, I'm in Sweden quite a bit now, but yeah, I grew up in Lafayette, Louisiana, southern Louisiana, and I grew up in a pretty active household. My father built a stuff up, like an entire pole vault setup in our backyard, and so that's how I got started. I just got started when I was, you know, maybe 3 years old or so, 3 or 4 years old. I was jumping in the backyard and just messing around with it at that time, and I was kind of doing it under the wings of my two older brothers, who used to also pole vault and play baseball and play American football and those things, which are very, very common over here, especially in Louisiana. And yeah, so I grew up in, I mean, I was decent in school and everything like that. I just did everything like just to get by, kind of. I wasn't like a super school guy, but I was always in love with sports and competing in general. And so I played baseball, I played football or soccer, whatever you want to say. And then, of course I pole vaulted. And so that was like, that was always such a big portion of my life was sports from a very young age. And yeah, I mean, I also grew up in a place where the weather was warm enough to where we could pretty much play outdoor sports year round. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was pretty much no off season. I was just always playing something at some time of the year. And then it just got to a point when I was like 15 where I just kind of solely had to focus on stuff up.
Did you always feel like stuff up, pole jumping, was your number one sport? Because now it sounds like you were, you know, really into a lot of different sports.
Yeah, I mean, I was into a lot of different sports, and I really loved like playing baseball and football. But I was like, from a very young age, I was really good at stuff up. I don't know. There was just something about it, like the technique and just the timing and everything about the event. It just kind of came pretty natural to me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it was when I was 7 years old, I broke like the 7 year old age group world record. It's like the highest any 7 year old has jumped. And like from then, I had quite a few age group world records. But I mean, so like even from when I was like 7 years old, then I started to really figure out the event. And I was just, you know, I don't know. It just, I mean, I jumped a lot. So you could say like hard work, but at the same time, like I was quite a natural at it. Yeah. And I knew that from a pretty young age. I was like, yeah, this is something I could be really good at.
I always think about like gymnastics, because I feel like, you know, when you pole jump, you're supposed to fly really, really high. And I feel like that would be super scary if you're not used to that. Like gymnastics, because one of my friends was really good at gymnastics. But once you start being like 15, 16, you start to notice like what you're actually doing. It's too scary to like.
You can see the consequences.
Yeah.
No, that is a thing. That is a thing for a lot of people. I think the mental aspect of pole vaulting is what kind of separates like the good jumpers from the great jumpers. Is the ones that are really mentally tough can make it to like that extra level. And, you know, be the best few in the world. And I don't know. It's just something that I never really struggled with that much. I think I was just always been so comfortable with the event. And like, I think for me, I just never realized what I'm doing. Like 6 meters just doesn't even seem high in the air to me at this point.
Not to me either.
It's just like, exactly. Like, I don't know. It just happens. You don't even really think about it. Like I said, like I just kind of shut my mind off when I jump in it. Yeah. I just go out there and do it, basically.
Oh, I love that. It just happens.
Yeah. Maybe I should start pole jumping now.
Well, do you think that is why you've also found golf? Because in the same way, it's sort of everything into one sport. It's technique, it's speed, it's strength, it's mentally, for sure.
There's so much similarities in what I do in pole vault to golf that I found, at least. Of course there's a lot of differences to it. Like the mental aspect, it's a different type of mental zone that you need to get into. Mm-hmm. Like for me, it's better when I'm fired up, when I have the adrenaline, and you know, because you know, more speed and more strength just helps. Mm-hmm. As in golf, it's more like, I think that can kind of hurt me sometimes if I get too emotional. Like after a bad shot, I get too worked up, and then I want to hit it you know, I want to swing a little too aggressively the next time. And that kind of just throws everything, that just kind of throws everything off. Yeah. So like, it's pretty cool to like the difference of, you know, you got to really lock in and you got to like focus on what you're doing, but then try not to focus too hard, especially on, you know, tiny little things. It's like, what did my father always say? I mean, he's not like a golfer, but it's like, what was the saying? I gotta think. It's like, please, what is it? Please, God, give me the strength to not try hard. Mm. I think it was.
Yeah.
Huh. And like, that's like a golf thing. It was like, it's like, it's so complicated to where it's like, the second you start trying too hard, you're screwed. And the second you start trying too little, you're screwed. You got to find this like little middle ground of where you kind of got to just find this like balance in the middle between them two to find a little rhythm. Mm-hmm. And that's a little different than pole vault, because I feel like you want to be on the far end of getting really amped up, fired up, mm-hmm. getting emotional. Mm-hmm. And golf, you just have to stay pretty calm the whole time mm-hmm. and like get relaxed. So the focus part is still there. It's just like, I mean, it's just a lot different. It's just different what you do. But as far as like all the technical things and just the little tiny like centimeters that matter so much, there's a lot of similarities.
So have you learned to control your feelings more on the golf course, like through golf, and then maybe that on in the rest of your life as well, or are you pretty fired up?
I'm getting there. I'm not gonna say I'm good at it. I mean, I've only been playing for like a year, and I've already had to get like 3 new golf clubs from breaking them. So it's not that good of a resume, I guess you could say. But I mean, because I was like, especially when I'm on the track, like I'm pretty emotional, especially like in practice. Mm. If you already like that, you know, golf is such a frustrating sport in itself. I'm definitely better at it now than I was before. To where you just being able to have, and I think that's a thing that I'm pretty good at in golf that actually helps me in pole vault as well. Is like I have kind of short term memory loss almost in things, like to where I can get really mad in one like specific moment or like one bad shot, but like I'll forget it like, you know, 2 minutes later. So
well, that's just have this like asset to have in golf for sure. Yeah. So.
But what do you think that you can benefit from pole jumping to bring into golf and vice versa?
I think just like sports. I mean, I think it's for me. I don't use it as like I don't usually like try to like find what can make me better in pole vaulting that I can also use in golf. Really, and I don't try to like I don't try to compare them like that. I kind of use golf more as like a scapegoat in a way when things are really like if things are starting to get, you know, like things are just starting to get too much, or you know, I just had an important competition or I have an important competition and I just want to not look at my phone for, you know, 5 hours or so and not answer anybody or and just kind of be in my own world.
Clear your
it's a similar thing, like, you know, when I'm on the track and I'm on the runway, the only thing that matters is the next jump.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing like when I'm on the course. The only thing that matters to me is just my next shot. Yeah. That's the only thing that matters in the entire world in that moment. And I really, there's just something beautiful about that to me. It's like a therapeutic kind of thing when you're on the golf course, to where like that's, I mean, it's, you can have so many things going bad or good with your life, but when you're on the course, the only thing that matters is what's about to happen. So
yeah, it's about the now.
That part is my favorite.
Yeah, it's about the now, being in the now, and that is also the most difficult part, at least for me. I mean, you can sort of think back on things that have happened during the day or the week, or you can sort of live in the future and think ahead. And either way, you will fail, because the only thing, as you mentioned, is the shot that you're about to do.
But maybe you said something that helped you from pole jumping to golf, that you actually have the ability to only think and focus about the next shot, which a lot of people, even the PGA Tour players, really struggle with, like focus, like leaving the bad hole, leaving the bad shot behind, and that if you can do that, I mean, that's great.
Yeah, so, exactly. So I think that mainly like it's just a good like it's just good mental training golf.
Oh,
yeah. You know, like technical wise, it's different, of course, but I think mental training it's really good in that aspect.
So, and you have, I mean, you started a year ago, right? You only played a year, and you're already down to 13, which is really impressive. So thanks. I guess you have been playing a lot. How much have you really been playing?
Well, yeah, I have been playing quite a lot, I guess. But I guess it was like exactly right around this time, because it was about a year ago when like the pandemic first set in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like an indoor season, like I had just had, and I came back to Louisiana, and I was gonna train for the summer in Sweden and all the competitions I was gonna have around Europe, and then the pandemic just shut everything down, postponed all the competitions and everything, and I was just in Louisiana and nothing was open, like literally nothing was open. They closed down everything except there was a couple of golf courses that were open, like a little bit outside of town, like 20 minutes away. And me and my friends for the next like 2 months probably played like 5 times a week.
Oh, cool.
And I went from like I never played golf a year ago to like about a year ago around this time in March. And then we just played like all the time. That's the only thing we did. It was just me and like four of my closest buddies that were in town because they got sent home from their work or school or whatever because of the pandemic. And it was honestly like two like my favorite months like ever. Because like the only thing that mattered at the time, there was some moments where I even forgot that what my actual event was, like what my sport was, because like, we were literally just golfers for like 2 months.
That was a really like kick 2 months. Start.
Yeah. Wait, am I a professional golfer now?
Am I a professional golfer? That's like a 20 handicap. Yeah, it was kind of like that.
But, so what's your best weapon on the course? Is it the putter or the driver or a 7-iron or?
I can tell you what it's not, and it's definitely not the putter. You don't have to worry about. You don't have to be that worried about me when I'm on the green. I'm just like hoping for a 2-putt. But it's actually better now. I just got a blade putter, and I tried it out for the first time yesterday. Wow. I hadn't played in like 2 months because I've been in Sweden all the time, and you know it's freezing. It's been freezing cold, and so. I haven't played, and I was using like some mallet, I forgot what it was called, some pink putter, and then I got a spider, and then I don't know, I just was tired of the putter. I mean, of course, it's probably not the putter, it's probably the person that's putting. It's probably my fault, but I just was
it
thinking like maybe I should just
if it's a good or a bad putt, I usually say.
Yeah, exactly. I just have to blame the putter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got a new blade putter yesterday, and it felt really good yesterday, honestly. It was like, I mean, in the beginning, it was weird, like, just, like, with the weight and everything, the feeling. But towards the end, like, the last nine, I felt really good. I felt really confident over the ball. But I can drive the ball pretty far. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's probably my biggest strength. Because, I mean, I could get it out there, like, 300 yards. I don't know if you talk yards or meters. Or whatever y'all do on here. But, so I can drive the ball pretty far. I'm okay with my irons, and then my short game's, you know, pretty iffy.
Well, that's usually where you need to put a lot of time and effort into, really, yeah.
And I just don't.
No.
Yeah, and like I never hit the range. Never go on the range. Because if I have time to play, I'm gonna play.
Upon failing and losing earlier, I mean, golf is, at least for us amateurs, definitely a sport of failure. And to me, that's quite tough. You know, one day you feel like you're, you know, on top of the world, and then the next day you can't do anything. What are your thoughts on failure and losing?
In pole vaulting, especially, you're always going to end on 3 failures. You're always going to have 3 misses to end the competition because you're not over until you miss 3 times.
Yeah.
So. I'm pretty used to failure because it's part of the game. And I feel like when you have a sport like pole vault or golf, where failure is so common and you have so much of it, it just makes the success so much sweeter.
Mm. Yeah.
And the it's there's just something about, there's just something about when I really hit a good jump, especially at a height that I failed so many times at, when you overcome that little barrier, mm. or if you just after some bad shots, you just really flush one. Mm. It's just those successes like that. I mean, I think that's what makes success so special is, I mean, if you succeeded at everything all the time, then it would just be normal and there would be no special feeling about it. Yeah. But when you have so many failures, especially as I do this in golf, those little wins are it's such a good feeling.
Yeah. What are your golf goals?
I want to be scratch. It doesn't feel like it's in the immediate. It doesn't feel like it's in the immediate future right now. But I think there's going to be a point where I'm going to be playing enough, and that I can get good enough to, you know, to be around scratch. And I mean, the dream would be one day to shoot under par in a round. Mm.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. I mean, I have to actually birdie a little more. But actually, I really not that bad. Like, I've birdied quite a bit. Like, I don't go more than like three rounds or so, two rounds without a birdie. Like, I can birdie. I just can't triple bogey and double bogey as much as I do. That's basically the problem.
Is that the second your second athlete career?
Yeah.
Once you lay away the poles.
Probably not. I mean, I would love to. I mean, I think that being a professional, I'm like so envious of like professional golfers now that I started golf, because I just think being a golfer in golf is just so cool. But and like just watching them, things that they do is so sick. But I think that I started probably a little too late, and I'm not going to play enough the next 10 years, because hopefully I'll still be jumping. And I'll still have my career in that for the next 10 years, so I won't have that much time to get to like that kind of actually good level.
When you actually have to start practicing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, like I have to like go to like the putting green, yeah, and I have to like chip around and like go to the sand and like go to the range, rather than just like once every week or two playing like with my buddies. Yeah.
Put together your dream four ball, which three persons would you pick and why?
Well, we're trying to go for like score here. It's kind of hard not to say Tiger.
And it doesn't have to be a golfer if you don't want it to be a
golfer. I'm going to say Tiger. I'm going to say Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Because I've just heard really funny stories about Michael Jordan playing golf, and it just seems like that would be a trip to play golf with Michael Jordan. I don't know if I quite have the cash to be betting with Michael Jordan, because it seems like he wants to put big bills out there on holes. But it would be really fun to play with him.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, and then probably I'm trying to think of another person that's not a golfer. I've been watching like those Eric Anders Lang videos.
Oh yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
That group would be kind of a funny mix.
Yeah.
But I think that would be pretty cool. I think he'd be pretty cool to play with. He just his vibe. It seems like him just talking would ease me from breaking my clubs. Because he's got that little like California like chill voice, you know.
Yeah, I know a tournament I'm gonna put your name into. Have you heard about the Pro Am at Pebble Beach?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I cannot wait to see you there.
that would be quite tough. Yes. I mean, this I would end up having like three clubs by the end of the tournament, because they would like all be in the water or like in the rocks or over my knee, broken over my knee or something.
You might be on TV for different reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, especially those when I'm playing like challenging golf courses, they're just like there's nothing that's more of a mental test than a tough golf course.
Yeah.
Or like a tough church. Like, have y'all played Brohof?
Yeah.
So, like, those last, like, four holes, is it, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
especially if I'm not, like, I think I've played bowling like three or four times, those last like four holes, I still have like nightmares about them. Like, just sitting, I just sit in bed and I'm just like, I'm walking on the tee box, like, I don't even know what to do anymore.
Do you see only water?
Yeah, like the par five where it's the fairway is like 10 meters wide. Yeah. And it's just along water the entire way, and it's that tiny little island, basically green. And then you have an actual island green 2 holes later. And then it's like, oh my God.
I know. I played it in like storm. So yeah, it wasn't easy. Yeah, it was the short hole before the island hole, I think it was. We had to hit a spoon.
Wow.
Like a 3-wood, because it was
windy. The par three. It's 2 par 3s back to back. Yeah.
Yeah.
15 or 16, 17. Yeah.
It was extremely windy.
Mm.
Yeah, I would have taken a rain check, I think. If there was some wind and rain, and me and Brohoff, I think I'd say, you know what, I'm just going to drive the car in, I'll walk back in, and I just, you know, I'll live to see another day.
This is not going to work today.
I don't feel like buying another dozen of balls.
Well, Mondo, time flies, and it's soon time for us to wrap up. But you have, speaking about difficulties and obstacles, you have a very important year and season in front of you with the Olympics and everything.
Yeah.
What does your schedule look like now up until that point?
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. No, but it's an Olympic year, so I mean, the Olympics is the biggest meet of an athlete in my event, and so, you know, I want to be in my best shape there, and I want to make sure I'm in form that I give myself the best chance to be able to come with the gold.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I gotta hang up the clubs a little bit more. Can't play golf like quite as much. I just have to focus on.
Damn it.
Focus on winning the Olympics. But yeah, it's the biggest year for me that I've had so far as an athlete. I never competed in Olympics. It'll be my first time, but I think that things are trending in the right direction. And you know, there's only so much you can do, really. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's still a meet, and it's still me jumping, and it's me competing against basically the same guys that I compete against anyway. You know, it's kind of the same like golf, like the master, when you get some like the master, I mean, it is the Masters, but it's still the same golfers competing against the same golfers than it is any other. So it's the same in that sense for me at the Olympics, but, you know, just try to get in the best shape I possibly can. And, so I can have my best shot to come away with the gold.
Well, we, hope you obviously the best of luck at the Olympics.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic to watch you.
Yeah, and also on the golf course afterwards. Hopefully, maybe we can have a round either in Sweden or in Louisiana or TPC Florida.
Yeah,
TPC Sawgrass in Florida. Mm. You're more than welcome to play with me and my brother. Maybe we'll see.
Do y'all have like a that's your place that y'all play?
Yeah. So my brother lives next to TPC Sawgrass, so that's where we play. Yeah,
our second home.
Yeah, it's our second home. It's an amazing course. If you would ever come, you're more than welcome.
Well, I mean, don't invite me too many times, because I promise you I'm going to show up. I promise you I'm going to be there.
You have one chance.
Be careful with throwing out your invites, because I'm going to take you up on it.
Yeah, I know. We will gladly play with you there.
Yeah.
I already asked my brother, and he said, it's okay.
That's y'all better be serious, because I'm gonna take this super seriously.
we are.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, giving us your time.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it was super fun. I love talking about golf. So
good.
I appreciate you guys for having me on anytime.
This podcast is brought to you by With Hoof, a house to host great ideas, stories, and people.